This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and WVXU is going to be off the air again this afternoon, starting just after 2 o'clock to continue the work taking place on the WCPO tower. And this is required for the safety of the tower workers. You can keep listening, tune in online at WVXU.org or listen through the WVXU app. And we do apologize for this continuing inconvenience, and we thank you for your understanding. Human trafficking seems like a problem experienced in third world countries, but sadly it hits far closer to home than many people realize. Human trafficking is a multi-billion dollar a year industry that forces the most vulnerable in our society, including millions of children, into modern-day slavery, and it exists here. And joining me now, Congressman Steve Chabot, who's introduced legislation to combat trafficking of children. Also, Luke Blocher, who's the Director of Strategic Initiatives at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. And you can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Luke, Congressman Chabot, thanks to both of you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Congressman, how deep does the problem of human trafficking run in the United States?
Well, it's serious, and it runs deep. Here in the U.S. and a lot of other countries around the world, of course, millions of innocent people worldwide have become victims of human trafficking every year. They're usually women or girls, oftentimes very young. It seems that the average is around 13 years of age. They're often forced against their will into the sex trade industry. And it can't happen entirely within a country, but more and more it's international in scope. You'll have, for example, a teenage girl who was promised a job or an opportunity to study abroad. She's taken across the border to another country, oftentimes away from her family, separated from those who love her and care about her. Generally, her passport will be taken away. She's threatened, oftentimes beaten, and forced into prostitution far too often. And it's many times kind of a sophisticated, multinational criminal syndicate. And they make, it's been estimated, about $32 billion a year by doing these horrific things to these young people. And sometimes it's not the sex trade. It could be involuntary servitude in a sweatshop, or it could be domestic labor in someone's home, or it might be working in the fields in forced agricultural labor. In essence, it's virtual slavery. And it's been estimated that there may be anywhere from 20 to 27 million people worldwide who have been forced against their will into this horrific existence. And it's very deep and very broad.
You know, Congressman, it also shocks me by how close to home this hits. I mean, this has been a pretty big problem for the state of Ohio even, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. It happens right here. It happens all over the country, oftentimes in larger cities, but it can't happen anywhere. There has been legislation. I think the first and most significant legislation was back in 2000. It was called the Victims of Trafficking and Violence Protection Act. It was signed into law by President Bill Clinton at the time. I voted for it. The law has been strengthened. It's been reauthorized a number of times over the years. And what it did is it updated our criminal laws to make sure that human traffic was included as a crime under virtually any type of actions that would be connected with it. It stiffened the penalties. There can be up to life imprisonment for a person, depending on how significantly involved they are. It also established rehabilitation programs for the victims and public education campaigns to increase awareness about this. A lot of people just don't know this exists, and I think you're doing this program today as part of helping by letting people know that this happens, and there are signs of it, and I mean, so we should all be aware of it so that we can work together to prevent it from happening.
Luke, this is such a serious, hideous crime because it preys on people, especially the most vulnerable, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the critical element of the human traffickers target is someone who is vulnerable and someone they can take advantage of, whether it's that they're financially vulnerable or whether it's that they're even emotionally vulnerable. Those are the kind of people that are targeted. And as Congressman Shabbat just said at the end of his remarks, as simple as it is, awareness of this is a huge step forward. There's an enormous gap between the reality of how this is happening and people's perceptions of it, and particularly within law enforcement, who are fundamentally, in most places, responding to the public's demand for the issues that they're supposed to focus on. And I think law enforcement in this country and around the world will respond if the public demands more focus on these issues and calling modern slavery what it is, as opposed to classifying it as perhaps a different crime. For example, as the congressman mentioned, many people are involved in the sex trade. For decades now, those women have been very unjustly simply labeled as prostitutes and convicted as prostitutes, which doesn't solve the problem of how they were forced into this in the first place. It's similarly true for certain people who are in agricultural fields in this country, as the congressman mentioned, where those folks are have been brought here under false pretenses. If they do have an interaction with the government and with law enforcement, it's under some sort of immigration matter, when in reality they're victims here. And so a part of this is just reorienting ourselves to the reality of the situation and reclassifying how we term people.
And Luke and Congressman Shabbat as well, I'd be interested in both your takes on this. Isn't one of the big problems with human trafficking is, like you were saying, often the victims get treated like a criminal themselves, which makes it even harder for them to get help and go to the police and talk about it?
That does make it harder. There's no question about it. And it doesn't mean that every person that's involved in the sex trade business in this country, you know, has been human trafficked to the extent it was somebody else that did it in some deceptive manner. But far too often, that's exactly what happened. And they're oftentimes afraid, or they are treated as criminals themselves, when in reality, they're a victim that may be far from home. They may have been brought over here from Russia or one of the former Soviet Union satellite countries, oftentimes to the United States, although it happens all over the world. And it is a problem when they're treated as criminals themselves, when they're actually victims, and oftentimes very young.
That's right. I would agree with that completely. And I think one of the real weaknesses that traffickers prey on is people's fear of law enforcement. I mean, that is one of their tools, and they know that people would be scared of that, and so they use the threat of reporting to law enforcement as a way to control them. In addition, and this is one of the truly incredibly tragic aspects of this crime, I recently returned from a trip to India where I got to see this firsthand, but you have in that country, and this is not limited to that country, but you have in many cases the girls, but oftentimes boys as well, who are trafficked in from a village or from some rural place into the larger city. Not only are they victims in that sense, but they can't go, when they go back, try to go back to their families, they are treated as outcasts because of their tarnishing that has happened because of their involvement in this trade. So the effect runs deep, and the response has to be equally as deep for all of us.
Look, it's hard to believe that in this day and age, that this kind of thing is still happening. Would people be surprised by the places, the businesses, the settings where human trafficking is occurring?
Absolutely. And frankly, I was surprised by it when I learned about it, when I first started working on this much more closely 3 years ago. It is happening in every part of our world. It is happening also not just in the areas that I think we're a little more familiar with in the commercial sex industry, but it is happening in different areas of labor, in hotels, in restaurants, in houses where you have domestic servants who've been brought over under false pretenses and were held against their will. And it also is part of our consumer activities. And this is an area that's getting a little more focused, and it's a lot harder to dig into. But the supply chains for a lot of the things that we use every single day are without a doubt infected by slavery and somewhere along that line.
And is it true that events like the Super Bowl attract this kind of illicit activity?
It is, and that's simply a question of demand. And this is a business. As the congressman mentioned, it's an incredibly profitable business. And so the traffickers go to where there's demand for the services. And where there is demand, big events like the Super Bowl attract demand for commercial sex services. And so they gear up for those, just like they would any other big business opportunity. And I think one of the things that's important for this whole issue for all of us to consider is that at the end of the day, this is a business that these folks are running. And they're doing it because it's wildly profitable. And it's profitable because we're not paying attention as closely as we could.
Is there a
In the international aspects to this, Mark, I was in Cambodia a number of years ago, and there were raids going on basically in some of the brothels over there. And it turns out the government officials themselves are involved in this. You oftentimes have a police chief or somebody who's being paid off or has a part share in that particular business. So, you know, you think that you're dealing with law enforcement that's going to help the victims, and in essence, they're benefiting financially from it, so they're covering up for them. On the bright side, I've seen in India, I was there on a CODEL, a congressional delegation there with a number of other members of Congress, and we had been to a facility where young girls who are born, literally their mothers work in a brothel. This was in Mumbai, which used to be called Bombay. But there was a mission outside the city of Mumbai where these young girls, and it was a faith-based organization, the girls had been born in a brothel. And rather than follow in the footsteps of their mothers, they were actually in a facility. They were being educated and taught and getting skills so they wouldn't have to repeat that same behavior that ended up their mother being in the brothel. So there are some bright stories going on around the world, but unfortunately an awful lot of darkness out there too.
Yeah, I would just add to that point that another group that we just honored actually last Thursday night at the Freedom Center called Freeset. They operate in the biggest red light district in Kolkata, which previously was Calcutta, and they employ women. They give them an opportunity to work in a T-shirt and bag factory, and it's a way to get out of the industry, even though they still live there. But they get out, and they're able to employ it. And their children, who are, as the congressman mentions, who were born in, are able to see a different opportunity and actually have a different opportunity. So there absolutely are reasons to be optimistic about this.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Congressman Shabbat, you're working on some legislation, I think a couple of bills, as a matter of fact, to deal with human trafficking, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I actually introduced a bill, a bipartisan bill, called Girls Count Act. And here's what it's about. There are 51 million people, that's the estimate, that are born each year around the world who on paper at least don't exist. It's mostly young girls born who aren't registered. They don't have birth certificates. And that lack of documentation not only keeps them from fully participating in their society, they can't receive services like education and health care oftentimes because they're not registered, but they're also particularly vulnerable to being trafficked, either into involuntary servitude or the sex trade industry. And what this Girls Count Act would do is it would authorize our U.S. State Department to work with other countries and international groups and faith-based organizations to support efforts to issue birth certificates to every child, whether it's a boy or a girl, born across the globe, so that they exist and so we can keep track of them. But what happens is, since they're not registered with anybody, it's very easy for them to kind of follow into that shadow world, and they can be taken across borders very easily because they just don't exist. So it's something that we're pushing for, and we hope to get passed into law sometime in the near future.
You have strong support for the bills, Congressman. Think they will become law?
Yeah, I do. As I say, it's bipartisan. We've sought and been successful in getting both Democrats and Republicans on the bill, and you always have a better chance. And we're working with the Obama administration now with the State Department to get their support. And unfortunately, there hasn't been a whole lot of legislation passed in this divided government in recent years, but there's a hope for some things where really you have Democrats and Republicans working together, and I'm hopeful that this piece of legislation will pass into law and protect a lot of people around the world.
Luke, we talk about slavery, we talk about human trafficking. Is there a distinction between them? Same thing, different? How do we...
There isn't, and I think the words that we use has caused confusion. And I think for very important reasons, most people, when they hear the word slavery, think of our history in the United States and 19th century slavery. And one of the things that we do at the Freedom Center and spend a lot of time working with people like the State Department and others is how to help people contextualize what's happening today as it relates to that historic version of slavery. But what is happening today is absolutely at its core in the sense of one person controlling another for profit, similar to what's been happening throughout history. And the word human trafficking does not need to involve moving across borders. Anytime someone's being held against their will and forced to labor for the benefit of somebody else, that's human trafficking, that's slavery, and that's something that more and more we need to be aware of and be able to respond to.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Eva from Sims Township. Good afternoon, Eva. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good,
thank
you.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question?
So the question that I had, as part of a conversation that I had with some colleagues, we're child advocates, and we were concerned about possibly some of these girls who are trafficked being brought into hospital, local area hospitals, possibly not children's, and their age is being misreported by the gentlemen who are often reported as their uncle or some strange relation. Is there any training going on at the local hospitals to learn to question some of these people that are being brought in specifically with maybe sexually transmitted diseases with, you know, in the case of young girls?
Thank you for your question.
What I'm aware, Eva, is that there's a group in Cincinnati called End Slavery Cincinnati, which is our Rescue and Restore Coalition. And for several years, they've been engaged in very targeted trainings for communities exactly like this. So it's organizations like hospitals, law enforcement, social service providers, to teach them exactly the kind of things you're talking about, which is what to look out for, and then when you find something, where do you report it? And I know for a fact from the folks at End Slavery Cincinnati who run a hotline, which is 800-1863, if you call that number, 800-1863. They are reporting a tremendous amount of uptick in calls into that line. So there's no question that the training is having an effect, that there really is something there, and that those trainings are having an effect.
513.
If I could add to that, Mark,
sure.
there's actually a hotline number now, the Human Trafficking Resource Center, which if people would want to jot it down in case they see some signs of trafficking in their area, it's 1-888-373-7888. That's 1-888-373-7888. And there are signs that they train people to look for. For example, sleeping bags, you know, or beds in a particular facility. That oftentimes means that there may be people there that are being kept there. Bars on the windows, for example, and security cameras in a certain place. Those are all signs that, you know, there could potentially be keeping people against their will. So those are things to kind of look out for.
Are there ways that you can see those signs out there, Congressman and Luke? How do you spot someone? How do you personally spot someone who's a victim? What are some things to look for in a person that, you know, certain behaviors or attitudes that might show that they're being victimized by this kind of thing?
Well, some of them are kind of common sense. Like if a person appears, you know, kind of nervous or fearful, if they avoid eye contact, if they're unhealthy, you know, those are some of the signs that people that are taught to look out for this are taught. Although those could really be signs of a whole lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, somebody is being, you know, it's involved in human trafficking. But those are some of the signs that that experts are taught.
That's right. And I think the important point is that the hotlines that the congressman mentioned, there's a national hotline, there's a local Cincinnati hotline as well, but both feed into the same type of databases. It's so important that those places get tips, because that's how we start to paint the full picture of what's happening. So you don't need to be absolutely 100% certain you know there's a human trafficking situation to call into those numbers. Anything you are suspicious of goes in there, and then they're getting three or four or five calls about the same place, and that gives them reason to go check it out. And so I think it's important to stress to the listeners that there's high value in making those calls, even if you have it's just a sneaking suspicion of something.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Beverly from White Oak. Good afternoon, Beverly.
Hello.
Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
And what's your question?
I understand there's going to be an event on this human trafficking this evening. Could we find out more about that?
Well, sure. That's with Representative Shabbat. So, Steve, you want to address that question?
Yes, I know I'm going to be speaking at it, and I think there are a couple other people speaking at it. It's this evening at 7 o'clock. I believe it goes 7 to 8:30, and it's at The Farm, which is in Delhi. It's off of Anderson Ferry, kind of right at the end of Anderson Ferry after you go past the Del Fair Shopping Center, and that on the right. It's called The Farm, 7 to 8:30 this evening.
And, Congressman, do you find that events like this are helpful in making people aware of the problem and opening their eyes up to the real tragedy that human trafficking is?
I think they are, because half of it, I mean, well, probably an awful lot of it is just awareness. You know, as Luke mentioned, it's oftentimes a tip that law enforcement will get, that somebody saw it. I mean, that's how we oftentimes solve crimes and better people's lives, because some active citizen out there saw something and took the time to call the appropriate people. So, and they can contact our office. I mean, we're in the phone book, or you can, we're online. If you just Google my name, and we can get in touch with the right people. So, and if you're in, you know, Brad Winstrup's congressional district, or Mike Turner's up at Dayton, or if you're in, Tom Massey over in Kentucky, I mean, you can get really in touch with any of us, and we can get in touch with the right people.
And I would add, there's an event that we're having tomorrow night, the Freedom Center, just so the listeners are aware. We'll be premiering a documentary film called Stand With Me, which is a really incredible story of a girl in Northern California who learned about child slavery in Nepal and decided that she was going to do something about it. And she started a lemonade stand to raise money to contribute to anti-slavery organizations. She raised $100,000 in the first 6 months. She's now turned it into a lemonade business. And this documentary is her story and also the story of an organization called Free the Slaves, about who does this work all around the world. So it's a great way to learn more about the issue and what people are doing. So tomorrow night at the Freedom Center, if you go to our website, freedomcenter.org, you'll find out how to get tickets to it.
Right, and you'll also be able to find links to all this on our website, wvxu.org, as well as a link to Representative Shabbat's office. You know, in doing this, is awareness the key thing, though? Do you think that bringing this out of the dark and getting people to realize how serious a problem that is that going to go a long way toward fighting this?
I would say...
Yeah, go ahead, Luke, but I certainly think it's a big part of it, no question about it, and that's why I commend you for doing this, Mark.
I agree, and it is an absolutely big part, although it is not the only part, and I think there are ample statistics that demonstrate the incredible gap between the amount of activity there is on a rhetorical basis around this issue and the actual amount of funding that's dedicated to stopping it. There's a really big gap between that, and the next step for us is to first identify very clearly what the problem is and the scope of it, but also really start to dedicate the resources in the law enforcement area to tackling it. And I think until that starts to happen, the traffickers still have a little bit of a free rein.
And Congressman, are there states where this is more prevalent? Maybe states are along the borders that have more of a problem with this kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of common sense. You know, New York, California, some of our border states. And there are also countries that have the worst record for combating human trafficking. And some of those are China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, Syria, Libya, Cuba, the Central African Republic, Congo, and Sudan. They are ranked as the worst, they have the worst record when it comes to combating, and that may be people either being forced into it and into another country, or people that have been forced into it and brought into those countries. It can go either way.
Well, and I would add, I think the congressman is referencing in part the State Department's annual report, which I would refer to readers as a really valuable piece of information on this and what's happening around the world. There's a weird inverse here, though, in that particularly within the United States, some of the places that we know that we think have the worst problem, it's actually because they've been the most proactive about trying to identify it. So, for example, people always talk about Toledo and Ohio being a particularly bad spot for human trafficking, but reality is, they do have a problem there, but part of it is they've actually been working for several years in a dedicated way to identify it. So they sort of get punished for doing that work. And I think we should, I think really the answer is not to say that places are bad, but to say that we all need to get a lot better at this and understanding it better.
Yeah, most definitely. Thanks to both of you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Congressman Steve Shabbat and also Luke Blocher, who's Director of Strategic Initiatives at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program is Pete Reitmeier. The technical director is Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney.